Have I not asked you,
Jesus,
being a body from the very beginning, to bring forth that in the earth, which I've laid my hand on you to bring forth, saith the Spirit of grace. I caution you again and encourage you again and solicit from you again as my dear children,
Jesus,
to bring me gold tried by fire, saith the Spirit of grace. And I do not speak specifically of the trying of fire by testings and trials of which your faith will often be. But I'm asking you to come and complete the purging process, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have not I cautioned you that I have not selected you above others, that you would go in a way of pride or arrogance? But yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and except through fasting, saith the Spirit of grace, except through going into my word, into things of depth and promise. Me carasoto. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, saith the Spirit of grace? And I've gathered your hearts and souls here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Go into me like you never have. Determine in this year to come that you'll make this a place of prayer inside of you like you've never known. Becarosoto. Mecarasoke. He said this. Many will grab you by the shoulder and by the arm and say, come do this with me. The natural tendency will be to show your love to them and to show your allegiance to me, saith the Lord. That you'd involve yourself in this and that and the other. But I say unto you as a church, and I say unto you as elders, and I say unto you believers, that what I've laid my hand on you for as kings and priests is to go into the prayer closet. Many will reason, and your natural mind will reason, and Satan will come and say, but I've called you to the streets. And I've called you to feed the poor. And I've called you to do all these things. And yes, in me, I will bring those things to pass. But it will not be through an operation of the flesh, like most of the church knows. But I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn, the one who walked in front of you. Yes, he fed the poor. And yes, he brought forth ministry everywhere he went. It was because he knew me in a private place. It was because he continued to purge himself continually and walk in a place of commitment to me, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm asking you to narrow your vision like never before. I'm asking you to zero in like never before. I'm calling you, saith the Spirit of grace, to become laser focused like never before. Busyness is not a sign. An over busyness is not a sign unto you or a confirmation to you that great works are being done. And yet there will be times where you will be very busy doing my work, saith the Lord. Listen and hearken. I have very few that are willing to do this. I have very few that are willing to hide themselves in the secret place and go into my word and go into my spirit and to deny their flesh. The flesh will give you many opportunities to minister in my name. And yet I'll work a work there as much as I can. But I have a very select few that will hide themselves and bring forth the anointing that causes a citywide and a statewide revival, saith the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm asking you, kings and priests, I'm asking you to come away with me to a place that I've solicited from you for many, many years. And I am pleased with you, saith the Spirit of grace. I am not disheartened with you this morning, but I am pleased with your efforts so far. But I'm asking you not to quench the Spirit. For in not listening to these very words and reasoning them out in your own mind and saying that is a man speaking. That's a man speaking. But I hear from God. Listen to these things. Judge these things, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Judge them by the word. Understand this, that I've called you aside. I've called you to be a peculiar people unto me, saith the Lord. I've called you to walk in the Spirit and deny the flesh. And yet, when you pray, you'll move mountains, saith the Lord. The earth has not seen people like you in many generations. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. Know me in intimacy and know me in my word like you've never known before. Let your world that you live in become a place of peace and quietness. I promise you by my word and by my spirit that none of you, including the one speaking now, have come into the place of peace and quiet like I have for you. There is a stillness that will direct your day. There is a stillness that will direct your life. There is a stillness that cannot hear the offense. Deafened ears cannot hear. And yet you will move out of a place of authority in my spirit, continually moving mountains and moving things in your life. And yet ears are still dull of hearing for many of you presently, and many of that will hear will think of other things and only hear this partially. But when you come to another place, you can hear it in more depth, and more depth will bring you to a greater depth, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I say unto you that your entire life is to be consumed in me, saith the Lord. Give unto me what brass and what silver cannot. I desire the fruit of the earth. I desire a great harvest, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I desire that all of you walk in all the gifts of the Spirit. All the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. I desire that Joel's army, the army of the last day, would flow together. No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. For I've chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto me. Thank you, Jesus. Let me direct your attention. Please turn to Habakkuk. That is in the Old Testament. It's just before Zephaniah and Nahum, those two books that you just read all the time, okay? It's actually page 831 in my Bible, if you... This was read one time at the conference. It wasn't majored on, but I want to read it because it does help solidify and renew our vision and our foundation. Habakkuk 2:1, and I ask you to receive this prophetically, and those of you that are watching that have joined yourself to this vision. Everyone look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch. Wave at me if you understand what a watch is. It's your place of prayer. Okay, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. Let me just stop right there. We got a couple more verses in there, but this is important. And Habakkuk, he was telling him, write the vision so it's real clear that everybody understands. You've heard me say time and time again, I mean, our blueprint, or that word blueprint means our vision, and it can mean corporately or individually. Our blueprint is revival. It's to go into God. I wasn't trying to parrot or just try to be another man. I think I understand my individuality. I'm real comfortable in my skin. I try not to be arrogant about that, but I like me. And I don't have to feel like I'm trying to be somebody else. I don't try to walk like somebody else or talk like somebody else. But I knew that God had placed Pastor Dave in my life when I first saw him. And Jim and I gave almost an absolute testimony that in 1997, I didn't know Jim Martin, he didn't know me, but we were standing in that congregation when Pastor Dave walked out, and I didn't know who he was because there wasn't even a picture. I didn't know. I was like, but when he walked out and we were worshiping, because I went there real hungry. I told you that Barbara had taken Candy and I there. There was one other lady. And I was so hungry, I was like, my God, I got to have something to change my life. I was saved. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But I was like real dry, real dry. And the place I was going to church at, the man emphasized education, Christian education, real strong. He's got a doctorate now. That's okay. But it was like, get your biblical studies and your degree. But man, it was just dry. It was a dry and thirsty land. Dry and thirsty land. And I went home and I cried. I got, God, please, Jesus, please show me. I mean, I had no idea. I just had no idea. I was like, you know, I wasn't going to go back on God, but I was like, God, I don't, you know, what are you doing in the earth? You've got to be doing something more than what we're going through. And we believed in tongues, but we didn't practice it. And it was not long, about, this was 96 probably, that lady started handing Candy and I, and we were still in that small church, cassettes by Dave Roberson. And I started listening to him, and I was just like Miss Gay was when she read that book, when she read The Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power, just the foreword. She didn't read the whole book, but Marty put it in her hands, and she just held it like, this is it. This is it. This is it. Right, what's in here, the path that's in here, that's it. And I was like, God. So you've heard me tell the story many times, and so I'll shorten it. But when we went, I died that first service. I was like, when that man walked, that man being Dave Roper, what was in him and on him, that was life. And it was life that he had deliberately, he began to talk about. And I said, I said to myself, I don't know who that man is. Because when he walked by, I was like, oh God, there was a wave of presence. And then I started wanting to cry just hearing his voice. But then when I heard his voice, I knew it was him because I'd heard his voice on those cassettes. And I said, but when he walked by and I didn't know him, I said, I don't know who that is, but I want to be like that guy. So yeah, a lot of my ministry for years kind of tailored in that direction, and it still does. And when I get real prophetic, I can actually seem to almost sound like Dave in different ways, and I'm not trying to, but it was just the way I was mentored. But when he walked across, I was like, God, there's a presence there. But what was so amazing was when he began to talk about that we could deliberately, on purpose, just because we wanted to. And that was before the book ever came out. The book wasn't even written then. It was later. So I got on this journey and have been on it ever since. And you've come with me. And there's no mucky mucks here. There's no higher. There's my place of authority as pastor. But as a place of pastor, my deliberate desire is to get up underneath you as a servant and serve every one of you. Hallelujah. Habakkuk here said, make it plain upon the tables. In other words, make it plain. So about 30-something years ago, I said this at the conference. You've heard me say it before. It was probably more than that. No. Oh, Lord, I'm 60. January. So I was early 20s. The presbyter of the guy that was in charge over this district in the Assemblies of God sent me out here, and I was like new out of college. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be, but I went back into construction, and then, of course, you know my story on that. But he sent me out here to the Assembly of God Church here, not the Spanish one, but the Assembly of God Church. Well, they voted me in the first day, and I was like, oh, I don't. It's like, that's cool, but they took me to lunch, and they said, you got the job if you want it. I said, well, let me pray about it. I didn't know Immokalee. The only time I'd ever been to Immokalee is when I went fishing with my granddad in Lake Trafford. So I went down, Candy and I went down 29. We turned on 82 going back to Fort Myers. And a presence came in the car, and it was like, I mean, it was peace. Now I've experienced that peace since on this walk, but it was a peace like that was deafening. It was just like I could still drive, but I was almost in a vision. Because the peace was so wonderful. And Candy, I didn't say anything to her right away, but he was like, it was almost like he was speaking in the car. I knew she couldn't hear it, but I could hear it. And he said, you're not to take this pastorate. Don't take it. But one day you'll come back and pastor a church in Immokalee. That was fulfilled like 30 years later. And I had no ambition. I just forgot about that. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. But it was like peace was so strong. And then it left. It was like he said that and he just left. I know he said I'd have to concentrate on it and think about it and pray about it later. But he said some other things about what was going to happen. But real briefly. But I can tell you folks, and I just believe this more than I've ever believed it. We're going to receive in this place the greatest outpouring beyond anything we could possibly imagine. And it's deliberately and on purpose. Why? Because we want our little kids over there, they're doing good curriculum stuff. But one thing we want our kids to know, we want you to know, Immokalee is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole. You say, well, it's intimacy first. I get that. I get that. There's no argument, but let's not get. If you know him, you're going to go into him. And if you're going to go into him and do what he asks you to do, see, our call, I'm not trying to put down anybody else. If that's your call, go do that. But at least, here's the deal. We have worn out all kinds of people here. And all kinds of people have come here and got real mad at me at times because we wouldn't go do their vision. I mean, real, we've frustrated. I think that's it. We've frustrated a lot of people. Why? Because they would hear what we're saying, blind see, lame walk, deaf hear, and they would just like, wow, you've got the same vision. We want to start a food pantry. Or we want to hit the streets for evangelism. Listen, that's all in the Word. He fed people. Everywhere he went, he was on the streets. That's true. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you want to destroy a good vision, I mean a real God vision, the best way to destroy a good vision is to give somebody two visions. Just get their division divided. That's all you got to do. Just get one to see, and I'm not, it's so hard. This is like taking a surgical scalpel and trying to divide something and say, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we're special in that sense of the word. God loves all of his children, but really, there's nobody like us, at least in this region, that is saying, we want to go into God, same vision that Pastor Dave had, and I'm not trying to be a mockingbird, but this is coming from your pastor. Our vision of this house, write it plain, make it, is to go into God with everything we possibly can, to the full measure, as far as we can, to pull out a supernatural revival with signs and wonders and miracles, to receive a harvest like this region has never seen. Hallelujah. Now listen. I know and I preach it, and it's there. Of all of the wonderful things that we presently, because there's a great argument, and not from us or any of us, but there's a great argument of like, but it's already been done. Why are you soliciting fasting and prayer and going into God? And when I say prayer, I'm primarily talking about praying in tongues. We understand that? I hope you do. Because here's the thing about praying in tongues. I still got to tell you this. You know it. You can't mess it up. You can't mess it up. Hallelujah. Now, here's the message of it's all been done. Why don't you just accept it? It's been done. And it's, why make it hard when it's already been done? I understand that. Okay? I understand that message. Here's the, Gary did it again, and when he always does it, it messes me up. And he does it in a wonderful way. He does it with ginger and grace. He gives us all to that argument, like, it's already been done, why don't you just receive it and walk in the fullness of who you are when you were born again. Here's the Tommy Perez litmus test. How many of you remember Len Perez that came here? Okay. Len Perez has a son named Tommy. And many of you that are watching this are hearing this again. And I'm not going to go into the depth that Gary did. I think we might still have a picture over in the prayer room of Tommy, do we? Okay. The ladies pray over him all the time. Tommy Perez was born with cerebral palsy. He's like in his 40s now, but he can't walk. He can't talk. He knows that you're there. He knows his mom. But Gary tells the story that he and Sue and Aaron, his daughter, and the pastor up there, and we've had that pastor here, they all went over and they prayed for Tommy. And as Dave used to say, they milked every cell of faith inside them to get Tommy out of the wheelchair. Well, I'm just going to ask you some old, they say, well, these are some old redundant questions. How many of you know if Jesus would have went in there, he'd have got Tommy out of the wheelchair? Is he not our prototype? He absolutely is. So here's the simple, this is real simple. I mean, it's just, this is not deep calleth into deep. We know if Jesus would do it, and he said, you'll do the signs, you'll do the same things that I do. I mean, nothing less. We're to see the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. If Jesus would do that, and Gary gives this, he says, look, I will pay. He said, that argument of like, we're already here. Let's just accept it. It's done. Let's walk let's just walk in the power of the new nature and everything that we've, and accept it and don't put works to it. Listen, fasting and praying and excessive hours and tongues is not works. It's labor in the spirit, yes, but it's building you up on your most holy faith. And here's the thing. Gary'd say this, and I'll do the Gary thing too. In fact, I wanted to tell him there, Gary, don't cheat me out of a blessing. Let me pay half of it. Because Gary would say this. He would say it with such love, but he would say this. I will pay the way. Flight, room and board, meals, to anyone. Anyone on the planet. Anyone that wants to take me up on this. If you can go to New York, go into that home and get Tommy out of that wheelchair, I will pay your way. The only thing is, he said, if you can't, you have to pay me back. Nobody's taking him up on it. I'm not taking him up on it right now either. But here's the thing. If you can't do that, why can't you do that? And if it's already all been done, then I'm at a great impasse here. Because then I'm just waiting on him for the time and season when he wants to do something like that, if he does want to do something like that. But if he wants to do something like that and it's not being done, then there's only one solution. The devil can't be holding it back. The only answer is, I must be the one. And if I'm the one, then for God's sake, tell me how to ever get to the place where I can see. Somebody said, well, so-and-so's having miracles in his meetings. And there's a lot of guys that are really, I'm telling you, there's some guys having miracles in their meetings. But as of yet, and I'm not trying to put something, see, what he's called us to is either we got to stop doing this Sunday night stuff, this confession, they get healed. Either, Miss Gay, you can't do it no more. Or we're going to believe this thing and we're going to do this thing. They get healed first time, every time, all the time. And I believe that. There's no revival like that in the earth. There's no ministry that you can come to me, Pastor, look, this guy, he's getting miracles. That's wonderful. And I applaud him. He's probably getting more miracles than me. But I can tell you, there's no place that I can go deliberately yet, or any man's meetings. Go get Tommy or go get that man and say, I can tell you 100% when I roll him in here, he's going to walk out. That place is not, there's nobody, yeah, there is. He's having those kind of, no, he's not. There's nobody doing that right now. But that place exists in the Spirit. And before his coming, there is a Joel's army prophesied that will take place. But I'm telling you, one of the major catalysts to getting that done is to spend hours in prayer and going through the purging process. Why? Because the membrane, what it is between us and those kinds of miracles taking place, Jesus wants to do it more than anything else. He who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Those all things is not a bigger house, a bigger car. Those things are wonderful, but it's all the inheritance that Jesus broke the bread and fed. Dave was here. He preached. Some people took him to Lozano's. I was out in the Spirit. I'm not picking on Barbara today, but I got Barbara and Vinny and maybe a few more were over here. I started praying. This has been 15 years ago. And I got caught up, and I saw this vision, and I saw all these beautiful things. I got to Lozano's, and Dave was there, and I started telling him, and I started crying real bad. And he goes, he's had something. I said, yes, sir, I just had something. I said, I had this vision, and it was revival, and this table was spread, and it was like all these dishes, and it was all of these beautiful whatever you ladies use to serve up your best. And you could open these things up and there was healing and there was miracles. And that was what the Lord was showing me. That's what we're called to spread that table. Listen, folks, if Jesus would get Tommy out, he expects us to get Tommy out. And that's not a guilt trip. But there's a place between there and him called a great fight. And it's renewal in word. We have to have sound doctrine where it renews us to that. It's also the purging process through prayer that causes us to go to a place where that we believe it, what? Believe his word in the truth that he's spoken it, in the absolute truth. Because Jesus, well, let's just walk in what you've been made. Wonderful. I will do that. But while I'm doing that, the other part of me that needs yet purging and changing, I'm going to give place to the Holy Spirit. Why? Why, Pastor? Because I can tell you this, I don't think I can get Tommy out yet. So do you see the difference? But deliberately on purpose, he's given us a way to continue to stay in his presence until what we're saying becomes an absolute reality. Thank you, Jesus. Write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. I want to run. In other words, I don't want there. Well, what do you believe there? This is what we believe. Revival and change. We believe that we have been changed. We believe an incredible power that has taken place inside of us. But we believe also that the infirmities, 8:26, Romans 8:26, that he that is making intercession for us is making intercession for us concerning what? Our infirmities. Pastor Dave used to say, our inabilities imposed on us by the flesh. Do I believe that I believe Tommy can get out of the chair? Yes, I believe that. But I don't believe it like I'm going to believe it. Because there are certain impositions imposed on me, but there's still a lot of bronc left in me. I'm not talking about I'm looking at junk. God knows I'm not. That woman's the only woman on my mind. But I can tell you this, there's still too much of me left. But I know how to get rid of me if I'll stay in the prayer closet. If I'll take the place that I have been created and go after those places. See, it's change in the soul, but it's also change in the spirit as well, building yourself up on your most holy faith. When you're building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the other tongue, in another tongue, you're building yourself up, believing in that place. That place is building you up. Hallelujah. Everybody say this, don't stop praying the mysteries. Verse 3 says this, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end shall speak and not lie. That kind of sounds like us. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come to pass. It will not tarry. Okay, Lord, you said it's going to tarry, but it will not tarry. Hallelujah. That sounds like it is and is to come. In other words, it's living inside of us. We're seeing it inside of us. I'm seeing myself lay hands. And by the way, please, let's change the vision in this. Let's tweak it in this that you... And I think we've been trying to portray this. I'm sorry, I'm kind of stepping in and out here, guys, back there in and out of the camera. But let's get this. Let's understand this is not Pastor Bronk's show. It's all going to be a church, you intercessors. Y'all are going to be laying hands, getting them healed, just like me. It's like who can get to them fast enough. And when they pull in the parking lot, they're getting out of their cars and they're getting healed on the spot. Hallelujah. This is the manna that we're supposed to be praying down. This is what he tried to stop years ago when I told this at the conference. He's bringing it up now. When Jesus walked right through where that, right between the flag and that real nice decoration there, right about there, he come walking through here. And I was sitting right there beside Candy, and we were having a worship service. But the pulpit was right there, and he walked up to the pulpit, and I said, oh my God, Jesus is in the house. And he just did like this. And the glory just went, whew. We thought. Listen. What is so close to reality can absolutely fool the mind. And you will accept it as reality of truth if you do not stay in a place of being prayed up. If you're not prayed up, if you're born again, but you're not prayed up, you'll accept all kinds of things. You'll discern things to be right that are not. That happens every Sunday. Every Sunday... didn't plan on this preaching part of the other mess. Every Sunday, poison in the pot is given. Food poison is given to thousands of Christians, and they just eat it up, and they go home, and they believe they've received the truth. I was sitting there, and he come out, and he lifted his hands. That it was one of the strongest. I don't have dreams all the time. But that was one of the strongest dreams of my life. And he did this. And I said, oh, Jesus is in the house. And it just seemed like I was just so thankful. I was like, my God, he's come here. He's honored us for revival. And everybody was praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. It was so wonderful. And he looked at me. And now that sweet Jesus kind of got, you know, an eerie look to him as he turned his head like this. And he winked at me. And when he winked at me, my eyes, my spiritual eyes were open. And I said, oh my God, Satan was standing there in his full glory. And he was wanting to take the church to a place where it could believe a lie. And as I said this the other day, he's reminding me, so I have to share it, but I was being awakened because Candy was shaking me, Bronk, Bronk, Bronk. Because in my dream I was saying, get off my stage. But when you're trying to wake up, you're going, get off my stage, get off my stage. He'll try to give you two visions. We've had people come to me in my office in years gone by and say, I want to start a food pantry. Listen, I want to hit the streets. I tell everybody, don't let me stop you. Don't let me stop you. If you want to hit the streets, hit the streets. But listen, don't take a bunch of our people with you saying this is sanctioned by the church. Because our vision right now is this. This is our vision. Because listen, here's the thing. You can feed the poor. The Catholics are feeding the poor and they're doing a great job. Great job. I say, if you want to feed the poor, send them a check. Nobody should really go hungry in Immokalee because we're, you know, our city. Everybody wants to. I have to watch getting offended because everybody that I, you know, if they don't know much about Immokalee, they'll want to just, a lot of people want to just flood us with, you know, food and clothing and stuff. And I'm like, you know, that's not our vision. And besides for that, really, if you go down there, because I've gone through it, I've been down to their food pantry, went all through there before with pastors. They're doing a good job. They'll feed you. Nobody really has to go hungry on Immokalee. And for a while, they'll put you up over where you have a bed, over the halfway house. And they'll give you clothes. And somebody said, well, we need to be doing that. Listen, support them because we're not doing that right now. Maybe in the future. But listen, you can feed the poor and have no power. You can clothe them and have no power. I didn't get an amen, but that's truth. Reuben told me years ago, he'd share years ago, he goes, Pastor, I came from that church. I wasn't saved. I was going to hell. But I was doing a lot of stuff there. He told me a half a dozen times. Have you ever heard his testimony? He'd tell you he was doing a lot in that church. They got a good feeding program. They got a wonderful clothing program. But he said, I wasn't born again. I was going to hell. But here's what he's called us to. We're going to, and I've told people, listen, yeah, if you want to, I mean, I had one guy, man, he was wanting to start a food pantry. Listen, if you want to do that, you can do it. But don't try to get none of my intercessors or our people. We say they're not yours. I understand that. I'm talking about I'm the shepherd. But don't try to get none of us because right now nobody's doing, they're feeding the poor, but nobody's doing what we're going to do. Who else is going in blind see, lame walk, deaf hear, dumb speak, dead raised, demoniacs are set free? See, we got our collision course. Somebody said, well, Jesus fed them. Yeah, he fed them, but that wasn't his major ministry. He did that as a bywork. But everywhere he went, he spoke the word and healed the sick. Everywhere he went. He didn't feed the 5,000 every day, but everywhere he went. You want to go to Mark? Bam! Mark just blows you up with miracles. Just everywhere he went, he did miracles. But it was all after, it was headed toward, well, Pastor, it's all about getting them saved. It's a package deal. It is. The bottom line is, let's get them saved. But let's not lose that. Don't lose. People lose that. They want to camouflage it. It's all about getting them saved. I understand that. But the calling card is miracles. You make too much of miracles. My God, did Jesus make too much of miracles? Everywhere he went, healing, life. And it was all about getting people to the other side. It really was. But I'd tell them, look, that's not our vision right now. So we're not going to have a Friday night where we call the church. I think a lot of men have had real calls of God, but then they get a lot of people coming. And then especially if you get people that are writing nice checks, you don't like to tell them, no, you know, that's a little bit off of our vision. You know, if you start that, oh yeah, it'll be all right. But then you got anything you start, you got to have people doing it. And anytime you see, y'all are all hardworking people anyway. Some of you work from daylight till dark, and then you just give them something else that'll take away from their prayer closet. See, the devil in your life is whatever is taking you out of your prayer closet. Whatever's consuming your time to keep you from it is, well, hallelujah. And whatever the excuse is, as a pastor, our vision is to eliminate all as possible, all kinds. How many of you know we're pretty vanilla around here? We just want you to pray, seek the Lord, and come to as many services as you can. Hallelujah. And we do appreciate your giving. Hallelujah. Write it down that we may run that he that readeth it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak. At the end, listen, folks, we're not going to be ashamed that we follow this path. Though it tarry, yes, Lord, it tarries. Sister Callie's went on while we've been waiting on this. Brother Rubens went on while we've been waiting on this. But I'm telling you, when they see each other, and heaven is a real place. This is not like a fictitious, like, oh, this is cute kind of stories. It's real. It's real. People are there. People are renewed. They're very cognizant about what they know. There's nothing in Scripture says they can see us. Nothing in Scripture. But they're very cognizant about their past. They know who they were married to. They know who their children are. They know who those guys there are talking about. Part of what their conversation is the reality of believing that we continue on and finish our course into revival. I believe that with all my heart. They're pulling for us with everything inside of us. Our vision has always been revival. Destroy a vision by giving them two. I don't have to go into the depths of this. I'm going to let you go here in just a few minutes anyway, but I can tell you this. Keep praying the mysteries. Pastor Jim calls it the four pillars. Pastor Dave used to call it the five inroads. They're calling it the prayer center, the seven. But it all boils down to prayer, both kinds of prayer, your legible English, Spanish, whatever, word. But prayer, speaking in tongues. Listen, because we can't mess that up. Pray that predominantly. I would say, I don't think that's wrong. If Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, I believe that that was the predominant prayer of his life. And I'm not trying to get legalistic, but I'm telling you, just pray it. And I can tell you this, I believe this, intimacy prayer, being alone, there's a quality there, but even windshield prayer will work. It'll change you. Pray while you're going to the store, going to the bathroom, showering. Get in the biggest habit of your life, praying in tongues. It will work even as you go. Now, not just isolated prayer in tongues works. I like that place because it's intimacy and you can hear God, but all praying in tongues works. There's not an hour, moment, millisecond that it's not working for your benefit. Pray in tongues, folks that are listening, please. Worship, confession of the word, meditation of the word. Jim links those two together. Fasting. You guys, along with me and all of us, have heard some of the best teachings on meditation of the word. We are praying. I'm praying right now. I asked the group to pray with me the other night, the Sunday night prayer group. The Lord has placed on my heart again. I'm believing God to help me to develop the discipleship training manuals. Carl is like sitting up here. He's like, Pat, he's after me all the time. We want to place in the hands of everyone that comes in here the moment they're born again. And I'm not going to write a book. It's going to have to be short and sweet, because I can tell you, you know, when you give somebody something really long to read, they usually don't even read it. You give them something concise that gets to the point. This is what just happened to you. This is what born again is. This is what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. We'll have like 5 or 6 chapters going through all of those, you know, the basic fundamentals. And then we'll take them into how, spiritual growth. And I'll have a DVD with it that will be coupled with a little package. And it'll be something where the guys will record me, where I'll be sitting and talking about, this is what just happened to you. This is born again. Now, here's your spiritual growth. The next thing is, you need to be filled with the Spirit. If you weren't filled this morning or this past week, you can be filled right now. And I'll explain to them real quickly. But next service, or as soon as somebody can pray for you, this is what being filled with the Spirit is. And they need to hear it from me. They need to hear it from where they're going to be listening to it the most of the time. And then people that are not even here, we'll send you those packets too. So places where you're getting people born again, you'll have something when they come into your home or wherever they're at that you'll be able to give them right away. And then they'll not only have a little pamphlet that they can read, they'll also have a DVD that they will be able to watch. Please pray that the Lord helps me bring this to pass. And I just know it's going to be extremely helpful. Amen? So that'll be part of, but that's all part of our vision and going forward. And hallelujah. God has given us a vision to go into Him as far as we can to receive the supernatural outpouring that will interpret into miracles and a great harvest of souls. Hallelujah. And I said this, but I want to read this. You can go door-to-door witnessing without power. They do it all the time. How do you know that? Because there's two groups of people that go door-to-door in our city here, and when they open the door, you're like, oh, God, Jesus. You know, sometimes I can either make them real mad right to start with, and I know the certain buzz things to say to make them really mad, because I know what they're... Okay, I won't even go into that. I got 2 or 3 things that I can say to either group that can just get them real fired up, right to start with. But I really would like to be like Jesus to say, excuse me, I don't know what you're talking about, but I can see that your hip is out of joint and you're in pain right now. Is that right? Well, yeah. Well, can I just pray for you? If the healing comes from you to them, you don't even have to start talking about anything. You can just leave them, and then you just say, if you want to know more, come back. God bless. Close the door. And they'll be like, or they'll wait till their leader leaves, and then they'll come back later and you know, say, could I talk to you about, I don't know what you did, but hallelujah. There was someone that sent me this morning, a person you respect very much and love as a wonderful leader. He sent me this and he said, the Lord said, I am well pleased with this conference. And I'd say this to all of you because we're all part of this. I have been able to touch many lives and to bring about permanent change. Great preparation has been made for the days to come. The foundation for revival has been solidified even more. Most do not realize the work I've done in them, but the fruit will come forth in the days to come. Evil is increasing in the world, but my arm is becoming battle-hardened and prepared to face down the enemy no matter what he attempts. Victory, called revival, is on the horizon. Hallelujah. The Lord at times has warned us. I shared this. This comes up to mind. Another dream I have had, and it was amazing enough. I woke up on a Christmas morning. I believe it was a Christmas morning about 4 or 5 years ago, out of a dream, and I was like, "Whoa, that was like God." You know, I mean, if it stays with you for 2 or 3 days, and it's like something you know it's God. to start with, I don't always, like, I make sure, because I walk around with it and try not to even think about it so much. If it just consists, if it's just there, then it's God. I'll do a day or two. Sometimes I'll know right to start with. But it was this house, but it wasn't this house, because that wall went that way, that wall went that way, and it went way back. And I was standing, like, I think, like, right over here. I won't get off camera. I want to, because I want to. But it was like, I was standing right over here. Somehow in the dream, I was like, whoa, my God. And the place, this, I love all you guys. Thank you for being here. I don't know what to do without you. But there, you guys weren't even a thimble full compared to the crowd that day. And it was like, bam, just hundreds of people. It was like, and everybody was standing, and the energy was like, true. It was like, you know, I got the joy of seeing Florida lose last night to 105,000 people. But the energy was incredible. It was incredible. That energy is not the anointing. But that energy was in this house and was so strong. I was like, I don't know who was on stage. Wasn't none of our guys now. But it was like incredible. And it was like, I felt like, the way I felt like was, my God, finally, we've got success. Finally, after all those services where sometimes there would only be 5, 10, 15 people or less, it was like, oh, Jesus. And you know what? Success is, it's intoxicating. It's like, you just love it. I mean, honestly, I'll tell you the honest truth. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be a nickel's worth of difference in trading that feeling for what you feel. Now, there's a vast difference. I mean, the glory of the Lord and the gold is wonderful. It can't even compare. Nothing can compare. But what you feel over hundreds of people being in your services, and the glory of everybody just being together, and like, you know, it's success. Finally, there's success. That, it's like, I can understand why, honestly, in the dream I had the emotion. I understand why men will trade the anointing for that. Because it'll make you, it'll just like, it has its own kind of power feeling to it. It's like, wow. It's like somebody that made $1 billion and they just like, they gloat in it. It's like, wow, you don't even have to spend any of it yet, but you're just rich. And I felt that. I felt like, wow, there's finally success. There's power here. There's money here. There's just, these are all, this is our church now. And as a pastor, you'd feel like, I did it. And so I'm feeling that, and everybody's standing up, and everybody's like excited and worshiping and stuff. Well, I don't know. I can't remember this part. I think it went down the middle, and I was a pastor, and I went right outside, and Marty and Otto were out there, and I guess the Lord picked on them because they work so much, and like a lot of you. But they were right outside the door, and we were having service in here, but it wasn't in here. Remember, it was kind of like this church, but it was like you could put hundreds of people in here, and everybody was like, there was an energy, like a football stadium energy. And they were outside, and they were just doing stuff, and they were just oblivious to what was going on inside. And I was like, Marty, yes, I mean, he was real respectful. Yes, sir. I said, what are you doing out here? He goes, well, we're just working out here. We're just working. They weren't in the service. And I said, then I went to Otto's. Otto was fixing something on the door in the bathroom. I can't remember, but he was doing something. I said, Otto, I said, what are you doing, buddy? I said, he goes, I'm working out here, Pastor. So I went, I told Marty, I said, Marty, we can't do this. We can't do this, Marty. We can't do this. And he goes, I know, Pastor. I know. And I said, okay. So I know why the Lord used them is because here's the thing. You can get your elders and people way off doing other stuff, and they're really not even involved. And they'll just be working like crazy, and they'll be doing it because they love the Lord and they love the pastor, and they'll be trying to do stuff. But you can get them way out there doing all kind of stuff apart from the vision. And I just left them, and I walked back in, and I was looking across the sea of people, and everybody was so excited, and I knew that the service was only going to last like 20 minutes. It was like one of those bam, you know, like we just come here, had a little feast here, and we did our Sunday duty, and we get to go home, and you know, and I knew it was a seeker. We had turned into a seeker friendly church. We had turned into one of those, like, our vision had went like that. And I started coming down the aisle, and I was like, I was like, God, how, I don't know how this happened. And I was like, this is not our calling. That was in my heart. That's what I was trying. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. And there was a group, there was some people that was going to get up. And I knew when they got up and sang, it was going to be like electrifying too. Everybody, listen, this is what happens every Sunday morning across America and around the world. People go to church, they feel the goosebumps, but those are not Holy Ghost goosebumps. They're an excitement caused by man, and they're not following the Word of God. They're not following the mandate that God placed in the earth, and that is to go into all the world, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and cause a great harvest. And I was coming down the aisle saying, this is not our call. And I woke up. Well, folks, listen. I know that you understand this. We have a mandate. Stand with me, please. But folks, we have a mandate. I love you so much. You guys have been with us, so many of you, from the very beginning. Our call is not to have, we are a church, but it's not to get together just to have church. It's for me to encourage you like never before. Go spend time in prayer. And as you go, lay hands on the sick. As you go, witness. As you go, if the Lord says, go feed that person. Go feed that person. You do what the Lord says. Candy and I were walking out of Target one night after service. And this young lady, and I knew by the way she was dressed that what her employment was. She was intoxicated. She come running across. I was glad my wife was with me. She come run across the parking lot, and it was getting cold. And she said, "Will you buy me a blanket? Will you buy me a blanket?" I know all that game and stuff. And so I said, "We'll have to go back in there with you." She goes, "Okay, okay, okay." And then Candy started talking to her, but I was standing there because I knew she could do anything, you know, snatch and run with Candy's purse. And so I said, "Watch it." So I'm standing, making sure I'm real close to Candy. But she was a lady off the streets. We took her in there and we bought her a blanket. And then, you know, I figured, well, she's going to turn right around and come back in and sell it. But we didn't give her the receipt or you know, trade it in for cash or whatever, because I know all that game stuff too. So, but she just took it, and she just went walking just across the horizon, or across the way, just kept walking like that was it. And Candy ministered to her, talked to her about the Lord. And, you know, we don't know. Those people come, you minister to them, you pray for them, and they're drunk, yeah, they're this, that, and the other, but maybe through that blanket, God's just one more step. And I said, "Lord, don't let this girl die in her condition. But God, let her wake up." See, every day that you live, see, the New Testament church was built. They did not have door-to-door, like, witnessing like that. But as they went, the gospel was shared. As they went, as they sat in the restaurants, as they worked in their workplaces, and as different needs came to them, they shared the gospel. They shared, but where they were pregnant on the inside with the fullness of this, because it was being conceived in their prayer closet. And so when they came out, they could give anything they needed, whether it was money or healing or words or wisdom. So let's just pray right now. Let's just worship the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for all the wonderful things that, Lord, that you're doing in these days. And Father, though there's a certain sense of hurt, sorrow concerning our dear brother that has not gone. It's not goodbye, but see you later, see you at some point. But Father, I know that the vision that he had with us for years, Lord, lived in his heart and lives in our hearts. And I'm asking you, Father, that all of us together will continue to seek you to renew the vision, as Habakkuk said, to write it on the tables, write it on the tables of our heart, write it down physically if we need to, Lord, every place, in our homes, in our cars, that we see the vision and that we, Lord, continue to lift up the tongues of edification and the tongues that will build us up on our most holy faith and our tongues of intercession that will pray against our infirmities, not just our physical infirmities, but the inabilities that we have to yet reach that place where Tommy Perez gets out of the wheelchair. Lord, bring us to that place. The change is ours, and the change is inevitable. It is ours to receive deliberately on purpose just because we want to. And Father, we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Immokalee is in revival. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Blessings on all of you. Hallelujah.